also a portion where people from all over the continent. The focus of the seminar also included the cycle of women in business, with an objective of ensuring that we promote the women enterprises, particularly that are servicing the tourism industry. Chairperson, the Cycle of Global Business Women is a registered non-profit organization in South Africa which aims to establish a global network of intelligent and innovative women and support the rise of women leaders globally. As the department, we're working closely with the cycle to promote particularly the work around the tourism industry. In Germany, an outreach virtual seminar was held with the South African diplomatic missions, which was aimed at addressing the impact of COVID-19 pandemic within the tourism industry and the recent national-wide protests that we had in July 2021 in Brazil. Cognizant of the fact that there are currently no direct flight between Sao Paulo and Johannesburg, it was decided to host journalists instead, as they are better equipped to give South Africa and South Africa tourism exposure and visibility in Brazil. Chairperson, in Chile, we have used virtual platforms to reach out to a wider audience that has previously not been tapped into, and showcasing what South Africa has to offer, not only in traditional tourism sector of the safaris, vacations, but also on issues that relate to eco estates, medical and wellness resorts, wine estates, wine yard development, etc. In Ukraine, South Africa and Ukraine are in the process of negotiating two visa agreements, as I've reported under the political work we are doing. And the two visa agreements relate to visa-free for government officials and diplomats, as well as visa-free agreement. Introducing new agreement might scupper the progress on the existing above-mentioned agreement. It would, however, would be helpful if the requirement of personally applying at the embassy for a visa would be addressed as part of us looking at how best we will reconfigure this visa regime between us and Ukraine. Chairperson on Asia and Middle East, I have already reported on the on-site visit, and this part of the report is just to mention that as part of that on-site visit, we also focused on issues of tourism, wherein an engagement was held between the South African tourism, where they briefed the mission on their strategic priorities and the events they are earmarking for 2022-2023 financial year to seek synergy with the mission's priority and engagement for the forthcoming year. And the reason for this is to assist Tourism SA as part of our facilitation work in order for us to increase tourism from China to South Africa. India, we highlighted the support to travel trade in issuing travel documents in accordance with our SOP and support to MICE travel. Updated travel trade on entry requirement and health regulation in South Africa during the pandemic were also part of the issues that were pursued as part of the engagements we've had with India. In Singapore, the tourism roadshow was held, which provided the mission with the networking opportunities with key travel suppliers from South Africa and Southeast Asia. In Philippines, as of 2022, promotional activations will be earmarked will be embarked on. And this is as a result of the engagements we've had with the Philippines during quarter three. And the engagements were with a view of promoting South Africa as a tourist and business destination post COVID-19. This is in line with the National Department of Tourism strategy on the tourism sector recovery plan. Chairperson, on program three, the achievement is at 80% at the end of December 2021. Out of the five targets, the branch was able to achieve four targets. The unachieved target relates to international cooperation, as I reported earlier on, and particularly focuses on a report on South Africa's obligation to SADC and AU, which was supposed to have been submitted during the period under review. However, the report was supposed to focus on a number of activities that were supposed to be held in SADC as well as in the AU. And as a result of postponement of some of this event, an analysis could not be made on our obligation to this bodies. And the branch has committed to give a report on this work as part of quarter four. And this is supported by the reality that some of the events or some of the activities that were postponed during quarter three, some of them have already been held now in quarter four, and analysis thereof will be made. And this part of the report will be given during quarter four. Chairperson, in terms of international cooperation, we don't have a target on the report for the implementation of the strategy for this quarter. However, we have reports on the outcomes of multilateral and multi-state organizations reflecting South Africa's participation and interest, including that of the African Agenda on Peace and Security, as well as human rights, economic and social development. On peace and security, the branch undertook the following initiatives in support of peace and security initiatives during the reporting period. The first one was UNGA's first committee on disbandment and international security. The delegation participated in the vote on the various resolutions in accordance with the voting instructions that were received from Pretoria, approved by the minister. The resolutions for which South Africa was responsible were also adopted by the committee. I would suggest, Chairperson, that a list of this resolution and what they entail should be provided to the portfolio committee to give you a sense of the work that we are doing on the Committee on Disbandment and International Security. Chairperson, on still on peace and security, through its participation in the Peace Building Commission, South Africa's approach in line with its strategy on peace building was to emphasize, one, the importance of having a nationally owned and nationally led effort in peace building initiatives and activities. Secondly, the necessity to enhance a partnership between the African Union, regional economic communities, and the UN. Number three, predictable and adequate financing for critical peace building activities and monitoring and evaluation of the performance and effectiveness of institutions by national stakeholders. And lastly, that at the ninth session of the COSP as well as UNCAC held in hybrid form in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, in December 2021, the outcomes of the conference was the adoption of the Sharm el-Sheikh political declaration entitled strengthening international cooperation in the prevention of and the fight against corruption during times of emergencies and crisis response and recovery. So this political declaration is the key outcome of the work that was undertaken during this period. Chairperson, on human rights, the report on human rights provided an overview on a number of developments in the area of human rights and humanitarian affairs. South Africa presented its fifth report to the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women Committee. The main focus of the report was on the promotion, protection, and advancement and fulfillment of the rights of women. The report also focused on promotion of international humanitarian law at home and in the region through participation in domestic and regional programs and popularizing the international humanitarian law, so that ordinary people are familiar with their rights and obligations as far as this area of law is concerned, particularly during armed conflict. Chairperson, on economic and social development, the following actions underpin the economic and social development focus for the reporting period and include significant outcomes as outlined. And as I'll outline shortly. The first one is the proposal for an emergency temporary waiver of some trade-related aspects of international property rights. We have reported in detail on the TRIPS waiver during our report on quarter one and quarter two. This is important for the marginalized to be granted technology transfers to produce vaccines for the duration of the pandemic. And the latter was during consultation between Minister Pando and the head of the World Economic Forum Africa. And the idea really was to promote the kind of work that we are doing, but to also continue with our advocacy work around the TRIPS waiver. Chairperson, UNFCCC's Glasgow Climate Change Conference was held, wherein an agreement was reached to highlight the importance of keeping the 1.5 degree temperature goal within reach, as this is safer than a 2 degree temperature increase, especially for the African countries. South Africa, represented by DEPCO, contributed to this discussion together with our Department of Environmental Affairs, and our contribution focused on our own national capacity as well as our utilization of membership of the African Group of Negotiators, the G77, and China, as well as basic negotiation blocks with a view of promoting this idea on environmental affairs. During this period, Chairperson, we've also had the UNESCO 41st General Conference in December. South Africa will use its membership of the Executive Board of UNESCO to pursue the country's national interest, that of the continent, in the following areas, namely the medium-term strategy, in particular priority Africa the continent and gender equality being its priority. The UNESCO's new strategy for the next 8 years, the landmark normative instrument, is one of the priorities that we identify. One on the ethics of artificial intelligence, the other one on open science, the future of education, as well as South Africa's membership of the World Heritage Committee and the management of social transformation program. Chairperson, we will be able to give a comprehensive report on these areas of work when we report on the fourth quarter, as some of the work is currently underway. On the UNCTAD, we have noted, Chairperson, is the 15th ministerial session where South Africa participated. The conference main outcome document called the Bridgetown Covenant calls for an inclusive and resilient economic recovery in developing countries which are grappling with unequal access to COVID-19 vaccines, the debt crisis, climate emergencies, and other unprecedented challenges within international relations. Chairperson, the G20 Leaders Summit was held in October 2021 in Rome, and the outcome of the summit was the adoption of the G20 Leaders Declaration. The text of the declaration will be provided to the committee outlines three dimensions of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, namely economic, social, and environmental aspects. Key in achieving, which of course are key in achieving sustainable development. G20 leaders were able to agree on the role of open, fair, equitable, sustainable, non-discriminatory, and inclusive rule-based multilateral trading system, and on the necessary reform of the World Trade Organization in line with the Osaka and Riyadh initiatives. Chairperson, under this program, we did not have a target for this quarter. The target on one report on South Africa's international reporting obligation, as well as no quota for the 60 position on identified influential multilateral bodies. Chairperson, as we proceed, we also did not have other targets on this specific issue. I would ask that we pass this one because there are no targets. The only target that was for the quarter is on continental cooperation, and I've already reported that we have not achieved. We'll try and achieve during this quarter. Chairperson, on continental cooperation, we are expected to achieve 100% of South Africa's commitment and effort in order to resolve continental conflict, and we are expected, as per our target, to honor that. In order to attend to this, a joint task team interdepartmental meeting was held in December 2021 to discuss the preparation for the upcoming Special Committee on Peacekeeping and the Special Technical Committee on Defense, Safety and Security, where South Africa participates as a UN Top 20 troop and police contributing country. And Chairperson, this is very important to us because it shows our willingness and continued support for a peace continuum that at the end will ensure that the people of the world live in a peaceful world. Chairperson, on South-South cooperation, as part of this quarter, we are required to report on the outcomes of South-South engagement, reflecting South Africa's participation and interest, including that of the African agenda. Report on the outcomes of South-South engagement, reflecting this work and our participation and interest, included that of the African agenda. The 60th anniversary of the first meeting of NAM was held in Belgrade, Serbia, and provided provided an opportunity to highlight the importance of the multilateralism to address common challenges that include COVID-19 pandemic, etc. It also provided an opportunity to stress the importance of vaccine nationalism and to condemn sanctions against countries such as Cuba, Iran, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. And Chairperson, this is one big portion of our solidarity work, and we continue to work with NAM in ensuring that this work is undertaken. Chairperson, moving to the next one. There was no report on the outcome of North-South engagements because we did not have a target for quarter three. If we can proceed to the next slide, please. Chairperson, on the summary of achievement for Program 4, we have noted that the two branches, public diplomacy as well as branch state protocol and consular services, they have achieved all their targets. Next slide, please. On the targets on public diplomacy, we are required to have 9 key messages annually that are distributed to missions on domestic and global development. For this period, we've had 29 sets of key messages that were distributed to missions and head office on domestic and global developments. Again, the messages also were focusing on us promoting the image of South Africa beyond the July unrest, but also our image in the context of the outbreak of COVID-19. We were expected to have 12 public participation programs for the year, and this would mean 3 per quarter. We have achieved the 3 public participation programs that were hosted by our political principals, where audiences were engaged on domestic and international developments, of course, with a view of amplifying our foreign policy to our audiences. We were expected to have 90 media statements for the entire year. And for the quarter, we have had 31 media statements published in response to both national and international developments. The 31 is above the expected threshold for the quarter. We are expected to have 9 opinion pieces per year. For this quarter, we've had 3 opinion pieces, which also adhere to the threshold for the quarter. Next slide, please. The 100% of protocol services under state protocol and consular services for this quarter, we've achieved 100%. We have 12 of protocol services rendered during this period, and they particularly speak to the visits, both the visits that I have spoken to in the continent, the outgoing visits, as well as the incoming visits. 100% consular services rendered. We've had 128 consular services rendered. We've had 12,480 of documents legalized, and this is 100% of the documents that were received by the department. In terms of the summary of achievement for Program 1, Chairperson, Program 1 has achieved all its target. As we move to the next slide, we note that we are expected to have 4 progress reports on the implementation of the digital strategy. We reported on this in the last quarter, but during this quarter, a progress report on the implementation of the digital strategy reflects the following as part of our achievements. The first one being the delivery of equipment, which was deviated to mid January due to closure of business operation and has been delivered. The bid evaluation completed its work, and we are awaiting approval for appointment of the network modernization. If we move to the next one, for progress report on the audit action plan. One progress report on the audit action plan, and remember the four is for it's an annual target. But for this quarter, we have compiled a progress report on the audit action plan, reflecting the progress of the corrective measures and implementation thereof. The audit action plan was submitted to the National Treasury for review, and implementation of the plan is monitored by the audit steering committee. And what we did, Honorable Chairperson, on the audit action plan was not only to focus on the audit opinion, but also to look at the management letter that we received from the from the AG. And we have used the information in the management letter to also include in our audit action plan. I understand that we'll be able to give a comprehensive report to the portfolio committee on the audit action plan in the coming period. The issues that relate to collaboration with partners to enrich training programs of the academy, we are expected to have two progress reports. The status report on the collaboration with the partners to enrich training programs of the academy was compiled, which also reflect an MOU that was concluded between DECO and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Kenya in November 2021. Colleagues will note that as part of the report that we presented, particularly around the incoming state visit by the President of the Republic of Kenya, part of the MOUs that we concluded related to this specific issue. If we proceed to the next slide, we are expected to have six outreach initiatives to change behavior on in relation to gender. Chairperson, as part of our gender mainstreaming work, we've had two outreach initiatives to change behavior in relation to gender. One was we coordinated and facilitated 16 days of activism on no violence against women through the delivery of the following activities. One, we had an International Men's Day that we celebrated on the 19th of November 2021. This program was a build-up program to the 16 days work. And through this program, we were appealing to men to partner in the struggle or the fight to end gender-based violence, and also to be counted in this particular work. We had a signature pledge on banners, and also had a book as commitment to end gender-based violence, and we also had an activation of the 16 days of activism in our department. The banners as well as the book where people are signing commitments is aimed at ensuring that our employees also commit to end gender-based violence in their different environments, even outside of our work environment. We've had a dialogue on intersectionality, efforts towards preventing all forms of harm in society and at the world of work. This was organized in line with the ILO Convention 190, which focuses on ending violence and harassment in the world of work. We've had a roundtable discussion with internal stakeholders on the implementation of sexual harassment policy. The stakeholders were reminded of their responsibility on the application of the policy in the department. Next slide. On the legal advice and services rendered, we have rendered 100% legal advice. on international law as well as on domestic law. On international law, we had 75 requests for legal advice and services, those services were rendered. On the domestic law, 96 requests were received and 96 legal advice were rendered. Chairperson, we are required to have two mentoring and job shadowing outreach initiatives targeting youth. During quarter three, one mentoring and job shadowing outreach initiative targeting youth was held. This was a capacity building session facilitated on conflict resolution, mediation, and negotiation with leaders across the country. It was held in November. The youth were empowered on issues of conflict resolution, mediation, and negotiation. This work is done in line with the UN Resolution 1325 on Women, Peace and Security, as well as Resolution 2250 on Youth, Peace and Security. Next slide, please.
Mrs. Lawyer. Chairperson,
with that slide, we've come to the end of our performance report on the work that we have undertaken. I will ask, with your permission and that of the acting DG, to now hand over to the acting CFO for our report on financials. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you, the honorable members, Deputy Minister, and ladies and gentlemen. In realizing the time, can you please move to slide number 47? Chairperson, what we are presenting today as a third quarter report is that in the third quarter, we have spent 933 million of the budget, of the projected budget of 1.4 billion. That represents a variance of about 36% of the money that has been, that has not been spent. But looking at overall, this is 59% of the budget of 6.5 billion. Now, Chairperson, what we want to highlight as well in this report is that the 933 million that we are indicating today as a spending for the third quarter, it does not include an expenditure of 635 million that was spent in our missions abroad due to the fact that the department did not have a technical specialist support who assist the department in transferring the information from the mission system to head office system. So in total, what the department has spent in real term is 70%, which is 4.5 billion. And this problem of the technical specialist support has since been resolved. So for the fourth quarter, we will see the expenditure of the department going up. Slide number 49. In slide number 49, Chairperson, what we just want to highlight for program one in terms of our spending is that we have spent 329 million and we have projected 447 million. And the low spending is attributable to one, the ICT bandwidth invoices that were not paid due to the contract that has expired, and they have now since been paid in the fourth quarter. The delays in the receipt of our computers and laptops, which Ms. Lobe has already touched on, the payment was planned for December, but the computers were only received in January, so the payment will only go through in the month of February. Then the delay in the procurement process of the network, which Ms. Lobe also spoke about, what also has happened here, the recommendation for the appointment of the service provider has been concluded now in February. We are then hoping that the appointment will be done in March and then the expenditure will start to flow out. Then the delay in the implementation of the property management strategy, which I spoke about in our previous meeting, due to the unavailability of the bid evaluation committee members, that has also been since resolved. We will see the expenditure going up in the fourth quarter. We have managed to resolve this matter in the month of February. Now, in slide number 50, under program two and three, I think that I have already spoken about the low spending on those two programs, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, where as a result of the mission expenditure that has not been recorded in the basic accounting system due to the unavailability of the technician who assists with the interface based on the contract that is expired. As I said earlier on, that has since been resolved in the month of February, so the expenditure will go up. Program four, we're still experiencing challenges, Chairperson, with the spending here due to the less travel that has been done by this program, which is also based on the unanticipated lockdown restrictions that we've been experiencing as a department. Lastly, Chairperson, is program five, where we have spent more than what we have anticipated in the third quarter. This is due to when we paid in the first quarter the AU membership, we paid lesser than what was in the assessment letter due to the fact that the budget that we had, or the budget that was approved by National Treasury, was not enough or was not covering the entire amount as per the assessment. So we paid the amount that was available in our budget while we were negotiating with National Treasury to then make reprioritization within our budget to make money available for the AU. That has since been approved by National Treasury, hence you see now in the third quarter that we have then made a payment to the AU on what was outstanding at the time. Chairperson, that concludes my finance report, and thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Deputy Minister Gortez, is there anything you want to amplify? Or you will come after the engagement?
Yes, not at this moment, Salo. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, during the presentation, we can now engage with the presentation. If you can raise your hands. Honorable Darsman is the first. Okay, we have apologies from about three members who were part of the meeting and they had to leave because they were supposed to be catching their flight from around 12 o'clock. So I think those members are now flying as we speak. And then Honorable Mpanza is in transit, and that is affecting the quality of his connectivity. So we will have these three members engaging with the presentation. Honorable Bergman, over to you.
Chair, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I must say, I'll start off with some congratulations there. That I've always said that West Africa, the ECOWAS countries are the growing region in Africa, and they're definitely the countries to watch. And it's good that we're now closing up to those countries. Obviously know why we're closing up to Nigeria, but it's definitely positive to see why we would try and engage with Senegal, Ghana. And for years I've been trying to say that the lowest hanging fruits for South Africa is to try and trade with its sisters and brothers within Africa. And, you know, every month that goes past that we're not trading in Africa, we're missing some great, great opportunities. The free trade agreement is obviously going to bring about these opportunities, but there's still a long way to go in terms of border control. How are we going to, you know, with this new, with what Home Affairs is doing now with, let's say, with Zimbabwe in terms of the permits, we're going to have to work out in terms of being signatories on the free trade agreement. We're going to have to work out a system that will monitor how people can come into the country for 90 days effectively, as will be the standard within the free trade agreement. And of course, when we sign up with the West African countries, this is something that could be a barrier if we don't monitor it carefully. So for what we should be doing is just getting our feet in the water and just start trading, which sounds positive. It sounds like we're already getting products in. So I must congratulate Durko for doing that. What I have said though is that a real good start would be to have trade fairs, which would open up internationally. I think that could help tourism. I think it could help stimulate the economy. And I think Durko, if this is what they're busy with at the moment, I think the projects that they're doing with universities and that abroad, like with Canada, I think that money could be better spent in South Africa trying to stimulate the tourism market and trying to get the trade shows off the ground and, you know, hopefully bringing countries into South Africa to show them what we can offer and doing some deals that could hopefully benefit South Africa. I then want to say that I'm also glad that I'm hearing Ukraine come into the equation, and I was quite shocked, and I'm sure the international community was shocked that we abstained from the vote. And I think we now hear why, but you know, that's a start. And again, you know, that's better than voting with Russia whilst we try and work out, you know, what goes on there. To get onto the more sensitive topics though, and unfortunately we do need to understand this, Durko has a responsibility to the people that also live in this country. You know, they've got consular responsibility to South Africans that live abroad, but they also have a responsibility to the people that live in this country. And they set the tone for the people that live in this country. And, you know, one of the tones that they set, and Deputy Minister Boerter spoke about it the other day, is the human rights, is fighting the proud history that they have of human rights. Although, I must say, they missed a great opportunity in commemorating something like the Holocaust Memorial Day. You know, we've got to appreciate that it's not Jews alone that suffered in Holocaust Memorial Day. There were most people here on this channel would have actually been victims in the Holocaust, you know, during that time. And something like the Holocaust Memorial Day is something that Durko should assist the government in commemorating on that day, so that, you know, people that suffered during the Holocaust don't feel like they were out in the cold with Durko. But what I wanted to say is, when it comes to something like human rights, we need to have a proud, clear track record, and not this bipolar record of swinging from left to right to right to left. We mustn't have an entrenched past loyalty track record. We should be more futuristically looked at in terms of trying to have something that we know that when it comes to human rights, our track record is going to be on justice. It's going to be where we know something is going to happen. What I think we underestimate here is that Russia is trying to dictate new borders for Ukraine. They're also trying to dictate membership of Ukraine in NATO. This will not only have an impact in Europe, this could actually have an impact in Africa. You know, one day we might find ourselves having to, you might have find ourselves of another country telling South Africa what its borders are, or another country telling South Africa what union it may belong to or may not belong to. So there's consequences that we need to watch when we vote, and we need to be aware of when we align ourselves to specific incidences. I then want to take the Deputy Minister back through you, Chair, to the Renaissance Fund and the African Renaissance Fund, where we said last time that the Cuban monies was a loan. If you go into the report, it now says it's a donation. So now I'm getting confused. I need some clarity, because is it a donation or is it a loan? We all should know that Cuba is obviously not in Africa, so I don't think we can call it the African Renaissance Fund anymore. I think it's now called the Friends of Africa Renaissance Fund. But if we're borrowing money from the IMF and we're now giving a donation to Cuba, I think this is an insult to the IMF. So we need to be very, very careful how we tread, because the next time we go cap in hand begging for money from the IMF, they're going to tell us, well, if you're capable of giving money, donating money to other countries that we've actually sanctioned, you don't need money from us. Maybe you need to go to Cuba to ask for donations from them. So we need to be careful how we perceive our donations or our gifts or our loans, and how we are really giving those donations. I then want to take us back to DIRCO itself in the business plan. And I've asked this before, and I see that we're skirting around it, Chair, like we usually do. We dilly-daddle around the detail. And this is why you'd think that reports that come to us late would be so late, because of the detail that they were scourging to get for us. I've asked for the latest appointments of ambassadors. And as was said last time, we know information already. We don't bring it here because we don't want to rely on fairy tale. We want to rely on fact. We don't have to rely on media reports. We want to rely on what we're given, on oversight. We don't want to know that there's an ambassador appointed to Buenos Aires who's already got disciplinary charges affecting her. We don't want to know that there's an ambassador in China that couldn't get security clearance before. Or there's an ambassador in Kazakhstan that won't vacate her post, even though she's been given another post. We want the facts. You know, we want this given to us by the department. But the department seems to be very, very slow in giving this to us. I've begged, I've pleaded, I've asked nicely. Chair, I don't know how many more times I can ask for this information. I think I've been asking for it from the first quarter report. We're now in the third quarter, about to present the fourth quarter report, and we still don't have this information. So, you know, please, if I can impress upon you to impress upon our officials that for us to do our job, we need the right information. We could be sending Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck and Goofy to overseas, and that could look badly on us. And that could look badly on our foreign services bill. We need to know that, you know, the president has still got the interest of the country at heart. And we need to know that this committee is not being made fools of, that this committee still has a job to do. Finally, Chair, if I may.
Just
that information in terms of who the ambassadors are that have been appointed in the last 6 months.
Okay.
Chair, finally, if I may, there's disputes happening within the city of Tshwane on the embassies. They're going to be collecting from government departments the electricity and all the outstanding payments. DIRCO has obviously
there's been a problem with some of the embassies in Durka and the city. This has been something that's been trying to be sorted out, and it seems like we're going to now head to something that could become a diplomatic spat, and could fall on the face on the face of Durka if this is not sorted out. I'm going to impress upon Durka to do everything in its power to please meet with Tswane to have this sorted out before there's a diplomatic embarrassing incident that puts us in a bad light or portrays us in a bad light that we don't need at this stage. Chair, thank you very much for your indulgence. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Honorable Bergman. I'll tell you.
Thank you very much, Chair. In one of the previous meetings, I raised a question about what are the discussions that are currently happening between Home Affairs and DIRCO regarding the free movement of people protocol. As we may know that now the African Continental Free Trade Agreement is meant to be in its implementation stages, and this will impact the movement of people in the continent drastically if it's not addressed. They know this document has been in the hands of the team, and I don't know what engagements have happened since then between the two departments and also as SADC countries and the continent, because you may realize that as Africans, we need visas in more than 50% for more than 50% of our travel in the continent, and the time frame that you get within that country is not enough. Also, the PIDA program of infrastructure development, they having programs called the one stop border in order to eliminate the times that goods will spend in within the borders of the African continent. How far are those programs with regarding the implementation of the one-stop border post projects, and which South African countries have been identified? I mean, which South African contractors or companies have been identified in construction of these one-stop border posts? And then I heard there was an agreement that between Nigeria and South African youth, a program that will happen between the two countries. Can we get details on how this will work, and what type of programs are we talking about, and how will the youth that will be participating be selected for this particular project? Because, Chairperson, we found out previously that there was a project of women where the implementing agent was a previous first lady of the state who was in charge of identifying and implementing this program for women, which we found very unbecoming. So how will this program, such programs, be implemented, and how far do we expect them to reach within our country? As we may know, most of these projects seem to benefit the youth who have access to internet and all these goodies, and not your rural youth of South Africa. Chairperson, with regards to the department's infrastructure, you know, it's very sad that we've been in this committee now for this term, and report in, report out. we are getting told that ICT this, ICT that, ICT is a problem. ICT is now in the implementation stage. And in our previous report, we got that the company that is being paid month to month is Big E-Communications. Chairperson, can we be given a straight figure on how much is this BT communication being paid every month, and how long has it been, and how much longer will it be that we'll be using BT communications, and a profile of who is this BT communication, meaning who owns BT communications? Because I think the department is dragging its feet in actually finding a permanent and legal solution to its ICT problem. Because a certain individual from BT Communications is the beneficiary to our struggles in the ICT department of this department. So, Chairperson, can we be furnished with such information? Because it's really becoming a hurdle for this department for us to be dealing with this issue month in, month out, report after report, and nothing is being done. Also, Chairperson, can we be furnished with an up-to-date property asset register of immovable assets, which is up-to-date? And then in the previous reports, we were told that the department is busy with 19 maintenance projects, of which 10 are in Africa. However, I don't see the report on that currently. How far is the maintenance? How much has been spent? And what is happening? Chairperson, you know, the property management department of this department is, it doesn't exist. Let's just be honest and say that we need honesty from the department, because the last time we had a report from the department regarding the property management department, we were given CVs, chapters, and now I sound like a broken record. We were given CVs of people who are incompetent or do not have the competency to run a property management department. And to date, we don't have a property management department. So I really don't know what is the plan of this department with regards to property management. The Foreign Service Bill was passed. We have an act now which needs to be implemented. But report after report, it seems like there is no intention to do so. So what is the department really wanting to do with the property? What are their plans? Because it doesn't seem like they really do want to have a property management department. They want to continue to run the way they've been running, even with all the recommendations that this committee has given them. But it seems they are happy with it. And then what is the role of this committee if all our recommendations will not be implemented and will come to this meeting quarter after quarter, year after year, and sound like broken records? Chairperson, I want to emphasize on what we had discussed previously in one of our meetings to say, as committee members, we are getting tired. And we have said it before that this department, maybe really it needs to go to SCOPA. And I think we should bring that back, because we are being lied to, we are being misled, we are being told things which are untrue, only to discover in the next quarter that what we were told in the previous quarter is untrue. So really, what else can this committee do if we do not take this department to go and account in SCOPA? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Austin. How's Dennis?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon to the GM, acting DG officials, and all honorable members. Chairperson, before I speak, I'm just requesting that you must please bear with us the broken records of this committee, but really we will sound like that because my observation is that there seems to be a discrepancy between the department's plan and its budget. The spending pattern is not aligned with the deliverables. This time around, the department has linked its reporting to the quarterly targets, but its spending is telling a different story. To what extent is the department creating a synergy between its operations and the resources required to achieve its mandate? How can you underspend while we are still achieving your targets? Who is fooling who here, Chair? How is the department still able to discharge its mandate without deploying the information technology, given the challenges that has been alluded to the financial report? When it has claimed to have approved a digital strategy and is to be implementing it as we speak, could we be furnished with full information about what the real root cause of dismal procurement processes involved in ICT? Should we not suspect that some underhand dealing are the primary reasons why the department is always found wanting in respect of procurement for ICT equipment and systems? On property management, why would the problem be, what would the problem be with regards to the bid evaluation committee? What does this have to do with the property management strategy? Which strategy? As in our view, the department is still to develop one. Actually, how far is the department with the milestone report from DPWI? Which from DPWI say was when, before the Act came into place? After the Act came into place, we requested, and we have an official at DIRCO who is no longer here, in the name of Beneath Africa, who gave us a report that actually wanted us to believe that the department knows how many assets they own, when in fact it was just a list which they derived without having facts on proper a list of proper properties being known, where they are and in which place and what the sizes are and what the condition is. This was in March 2020, Chair, when Beneath Africa was still here and she tried to give us a report which we rejected. On the basis that we were requesting a milestone report that would even begin by them telling us how they have realigned the property management section. And this, Chair, happened even after we had requested CV, because the CV request was done by myself and Honorable Musane for the purpose that we wanted to really see. And I'm repeating it again, Honorable Chairperson, that the CVs were bought was of LLBs and diplomas in event management and diplomas in every colorful thing, either than any skill and qualification in real estate, in property management. We even went as far as advising DIRCO that it needs to even have a quantity surveyor for them to achieve what must be achieved. We told them that to achieve the milestone in the property management, I hope that they are listening today, because these are all things we have said about before. That we said to them they can even get a service provider to assist them
And we said to them they must remove property management from the finance section. Indeed, they came back singing to us to say that, hey, we have removed property now or standing on its own. Chair, I can bet you that even if Durko now, when they respond, can tell us that they've appointed a person for property, that person, when they resume in the office tomorrow morning, they are going to receive what? So which means that the new person is actually going to start everything from zero. Because what we have been advising on in terms of a milestone report, which is what they could have got from public works. So I want you must understand, Honorable Chairperson, that when we did our first oversight at Durko, we asked them how much rental they paid for the Pan African Parliament building. They could not tell us. When we asked them how much maintenance gets paid for, all they could tell us is that they don't know, but Public Works knows. So which means that they are paying Public Works to manage something on their behalf, which they don't understand is managed how. I will end there, Chair, but I was just recapping their minds because this is really not fun. We are just becoming broken records. Since the Foreign Service Act is not yet in force, how is the department able to even talk about procurement while the mandate is still with DPWI? Is the delay of having the act into force not having to do with avoiding accountability? We are of the view that the department lacks the capacity to do its work in general and hides behind excuses. Regarding the coming into operation of the Foreign Service Act of 2019, it is disheartening to note that the department did not prioritize even those clauses of the Act that were urgent and practical, such as the immovable assets in phases, while the rest would be promulgated later. It is our considered view that the Act cannot wait for all other regulations and directives when the clause on immovable property has serious immediate financial implications, including but not limited to acquisition of new and disposal of obstacle properties. This is unacceptable, Honorable Chairperson. Very unacceptable. Now, this department is so good in English that this department is telling us that in January they are able to spend 70% of the budget. They are left with 3 months, which means that they will have spent 30% in 3 months by the 31st of March. If I give a rough estimation, Honorable Chairman. They are now on 70. Estimation is that they should be spending around 25 if they are really doing their work. So it means now they are going to spike their performance, accelerate it, so that they spend in all the quarters, which is 1, 2, and 3. Because of no proper planning, which means that today the department is telling us that in the 3 months that are left, not even three, I can say two, they are going to spend 30%. So they are telling us that you can do things without using money. Then you underspend it. That is what they are telling us. But what is finance saying to us? What is finance of Durko saying to us when the department has so much poor bed planning that it means, Chair, for example, this one at Durko, they can paint a house before it is built. And they can construct a house. While the house is not finished, they can start painting it. These ones of Durko. But as Honorable Chairperson, We are very tired of reading reports, of reading documents, of taking our time to do oversight, which is not being implemented. At least this department was supposed to tell us that we are able to do this. In the ARF, they are always excelling, they are getting good audits, they are doing everything. But the ARF on its own cannot make us to be clapping hands. The real problem is the department itself and its functioning. But if we can go back to recordings, Honorable Chair, you will see that for real, what we are doing here is what we are doing ever since we arrived. And what we are talking here, we are always talking it in different English, but we are saying the same thing. And these officials always come here and talk wonderful English that they can't implement. And they are always, they don't have a strategy anymore, Honorable Chairperson. DIRCO does not. Quality assurance is zero. That is why we even get reports very late, because they are thinking, "Guta, those ones, they won't read." Siyafunda semne. Siyafunda lento yeni before zoyilalela la. And Chair, these people are really, really not taking us serious. They've never ever taken us serious. And ngiyasiswati ngithi amadlozi wabo ahlala abagidela ngoba there's no consequences. They just dance on the table because their ancestors are always near them. But we are begging them, for the sake of South Africans who depend on most of what they are doing, for them to start doing the right thing. But I'm disappointed that even the executive requested us to be patient when we spoke about the structure of the department, when we became broken records on ICT, when we became broken. Even now, I'm sure when we are going there to Namibia to do oversight, I wonder which official is going to be with us that is going to tell us what they understand around the properties, because I can't. And he has lent the property, zero. Up until we get a milestone report, and just, we are humbly requesting that we only have a PC for ICT, only. Nothing must be on the agenda. They must come and table to us when they advertise for equipment, when they re-advertise, when they re-advertise, up until when they lie to us that they've now sorted that. They must come and tell us which green project is still continuing up to date that they are paying. And when they advertised it and re-advertised and advertised and adjudicated and re-advertised, up until where we are today, we are just requesting only a meeting that only speaks about ICT. Before Chair, ngilahlekelwa ukukholwa, ngicela ukugcina lapho. Ngiyabonga.
Bonga kakhulu, Honorable Swart. Ntate Shetty.
Siyabonga, Salo. Chair, I've been mostly covered by previous speakers, so I'm not going to be as long. But I just need to put on record, or place on record, that I share the sentiments, the frustration and the anger by previous members. This has been something that we as a committee have had to endure. It seems that the officials believe they are a law unto themselves and they're not accountable to us. Chair, I'm just going to highlight on two issues that I wanted to be specific on, because, like I said, I've been covered by other issues. I agree I was not present last week, but I was informed by my colleagues. And this is directed to the Deputy Minister Botha to give us a clear answer. Last week, he is quoted as having said the $50 million for Cuba was a loan. Today, if you look at the presentation, it says a loan to Cuba for $53,369,000. We want a clear distinction whether there is a loan of $50 million as well as a 53,369,000 loan, whether the deputy minister was unsure and misled the committee last week by calling it a loan if he's referring to the same 53,369,000 that we see in today's presentation. Because, Chair, we are also concerned, and as the Honourable Member Bergman raised earlier on, whether we're being friends of the African Renaissance and not just only as an African continent that we're helping out. The question needs to be asked whether this is not in some way compensation for the fact that of the 250 million then, we also the vaccines, the 180 million then outstanding. That is a question that you also need to ask when this loan or donation was made. Chair, just to highlight, I want to say that when you open up the meeting, you were very correct in wanting to discuss the issue about the presentation and its late arrival to the committee. Because if you were going through this presentation, Chair, you'll notice that the one that we received as a committee was a very condensed one, as opposed to the one that was presented by the officials. And in some way, and which is what we've been arguing as to why the B-Day rule was in place, was to have queried it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Sethi. Honorable Ngozi.
No, thanks, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister Puertas and the department, my colleagues and the acting DG and your team. Chair, I just want to concur with my colleagues who have spoken before me and just to express that we are beyond being shocked or beyond anger. Now we have accepted that this is a condition we live with in this portfolio committee with regards to the department and its reporting obligations. So on the reporting requirements, I just want to emphasize, Chair, that the department knows that on a quarterly basis it must report to the portfolio committee. We in fact do not have to remind the department. They have got a team that is supposed to be liaising with parliament and meeting its report, the department's reporting obligations on a quarterly basis, and in between that as and when the committee requests reports. So it cannot be an excuse that you are reminded 3 days before, 7 days before. And judging by the detail of what the department is reporting, it's clear that this report is somewhere there lying without anybody remembering that it has to go to the portfolio committee. And I think there must be an improvement in that regard, Chairperson. So I don't take, personally, I don't take the explanation that, you know, you have been informed 5 days ago, 6 days ago, 1 day ago. It should be in the nature of the work of the department monitoring and evaluation team to know that over and above what they do, they must report to the portfolio committee on a quarterly basis. So, on the report itself, I share Honorable Bergman's optimism around the detailed report on political engagement, promotion of trade, economic diplomacy, and tourism. I, however, also want to check with the department whether they have the capacity to monitor all these agreements, including the details on specific sector obligations that arises out of those engagements, and do they have the capacity to create those projects, those programs, and to implement them, and or whether there is an interdepartmental mechanism to ensure that these are translated into real and concrete programs for mutual benefits of countries involved in the specific agreement. Otherwise, we, as a department, we just become a facilitation and a lobby department, which has got no capacity to monitor if these agreements are translated into concrete and economic programs. Secondly, Chair, there's the issue of low expenditure. I agree with Honorable Schwartz, and she has indicated
cross-pollination.
I didn't speak about cross-pollination. I'm not,
yeah, I can you mute? I can't see you who is whispering.
Yeah. Okay, Chair.
I see Honorable. Yes. Proceed to Honorable Gossi.
I say I agree with Honorable Schwartz that if expenditure piles up or is delayed in prior quarters, it's clear that in the last quarter we'll see what usually is referred to as a mass spike, the just do it sign of Nike, that when people are faced with spending, they'll just spend the money so that it is not returned to treasury. So there's no economic and efficiency and effectiveness of spend in the last quarter, which is based on a predictable formula of 25% per quarter. And we've warned against this, I think, when the first quarter was presented and people said that they've got permission to shift targets because of COVID targets to the next quarter, et cetera, that cumulatively over the next 2 years, that is going to be the case. You are going to have mass spikes because you have shifted targets progressively to one to the next and finally to the last quarter. So what my question is in that regard is, are there concrete plans between today, the 9th of Feb, and the 31st of March to ensure that this money is spent efficiently, effectively, and economically, without just spending the money for the sake of it. The other issue is the delays in payment or not meeting the 30-day payment requirement to service providers. What is the impact of this on service providers, and how does it contribute to your expenditure patterns? I think a lot has been said around the IT and ICT issues. I will not speak about that. The last issue is the audit action plan. It says in the report that the audit action plan has been sent to Treasury and that it is being monitored continuously. We have requested, as this committee, I think when the Auditor General was here and the Minister presented the annual report, that we should be favored with this audit action plan so that we ourselves are able to know what is the progress on our decisions and on the decisions of the AG. So I request specifically that progress be shared with us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Nkosi. Honorable Mbanz.
No, thanks, Chair. I was not intending to say anything, but I'm being provoked. I think the normal patient, as human beings, has been exhausted. But I will appeal for a strategy, patience, that we give them the benefit of the doubt. That in the fourth quarter, you must see a very, very much improved presentation, which is actually addressing all the issues that we are raising.
which emanated from quota one, quota two, and quota three as well. As much as I agree with the honorable person in terms of them spending the money, but I think we must guard against these tendencies that it's always prevalent in all government departments, in almost all government departments, including the municipalities, of fiscal dumping. Because you might find that the kind of the situation where now they are exercising fiscal dumping, whereas they have not spent when they were supposed to spend. And Chair, I want just to second the proposal that was made by Honorable Swartz of us having a session of this portfolio committee solely to deal with ICT matters. But maybe I will expand it a little bit that yes, the first item should be ICT, but I would propose that we must allow it to take more hours on program one, because most of the issues we are raising, whether ICT, property management, procurement, supply chain, and all those things, they are under program one. And I've raised the issue that it's the program that is the backbone and the nerve of the department. Even if we can achieve on program two, three, four, five, but if program one is not dealt with, then the whole exercise becomes a futile exercise. So I would second the proposal that Honorable Swartz has made, but with that modification. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Mpanza. From my side, it's just three issues. One is on, I think we should acknowledge, applaud the department for all these relations which you are building across the world for the benefit of the Republic of South Africa and its people. There are many, many agreements which I think are going well. The memorandums that are being entered into are acknowledged. What I think we should focus on, and I know it may have not been the practice because the PFMA doesn't say so. That is why even in the MTEF, we may not in some of the areas do quantification. All these memorandums, agreements, particularly around trade and so on, it will be very, very important for us to do quantification so that we can also be able to say to the people of South Africa there is value for money based on what we invest as a country in international relations. This quantification must also be able to tell us, so that we are able to tell the people of South Africa, that we've entered into so many agreements with so many countries, the total value in monetary terms of this agreement is so much. And because in the National Development Plan we talk about poverty, inequality and unemployment, we should be able to say to the people of South Africa and the portfolio committee that does oversight, this is the extent to which what we have invested in this agreement has impacted on poverty, inequality, and unemployment in percentage terms. So that it's part of the concrete. that we develop. And that will be the culture we adopt for future generations to say, it's more or less what Honorable Swartz was saying. We should be able to say, if we invested so much money, in tangible terms, its impact on the challenges that we face as society has been in this way, and in that manner, so that people can appreciate why we must continue to invest our money, their taxpayer, into particular areas of international relations. That's the first point. The second point is, yes, South Africa is doing a lot of work around the maintenance of peace, particularly now we also get to deploy our own forces in the African continent. But other than deploying our own forces, we are able to engage in deep diplomatic engagements internationally. Linked to that, we should be able to say, are we able to predict what is likely to emerge in particular countries? And I think we will be able to predict what is likely to emerge. I know that responsibility falls elsewhere, but you can't do international relations without intelligence. So that we are able to say, through this investment of the taxpayers' money, through intelligence work that we do, relations that we have been able to avoid the following possible scenarios which may have resulted in the following catastrophes had we not invested your money as taxpayers in a particular manner. So collaboration, I see interdepartmental indication of how you work with other departments, it's reflected in the report. So I will suggest that in future, we shouldn't just say the number of meetings, but we should be able to say this interdepartmental engagement, qualitatively, this is how they have contributed to this area of our work, and so on, so that we depend on empirical evidence to inform our qualitative reporting to the portfolio committee, which will then be reported to the House. The last one is on statements. I saw numbers there, how many statements, what was the target we have made, and so on. It's around also the same thing, the impacts around quantification. And be able to say the reason why we deploy this statement in this particular areas of work is because this is how we are perceived. In this country is how we are perceived, in this one, so that we can be able to look at our global perception graph, whether it's getting worse or it's getting better. As I say, everything revolves around the qualitative spending of the taxpayer's money. Because those perceptions, if we don't deal with them through whatever means, including statements, they may inform some investors and so on not to come and invest in South Africa, or they may inform some of the countries to politically relate in a particular way with South Africa. So I'm just calling for qualitative quantification so that we can have tangible results in the end. Other than that, I think honorable members have raised the issues that you will respond to. MTDG and your collective, the opportunity is now yours to respond. You will see how you allocate the responsibilities of responding to your team.
Hello, Chairperson.
Yes, Comrade Deputy Minister, with us.
Yes, thanks, Clano. I just thought I must respond to the just two or three matters and then give over to the Ambassador Lossi.
No problem. Start with Cuba.
Yes, no, thank you very much, Slalo. Chair, look, I think the first issue on the ARF is not an instrument that definitively, obviously, look only as it relates to our Pan-African solidarity. The ARF, Chairperson, is an instrument at our disposal that look, broadly speaking, how it can help us to deepen our foreign policy implementation. The question as it relates to Cuba, Slalo, comes as at the level of our foreign policy priority, which speaks about South-to-South cooperation and global solidarity. Importantly, Chair, and I think we obviously, you know, I would want to frown on a statement that some members have made to indicate that, you know, we have a particular obligation towards, in particular your present with institutions, you know, Cuba is under sanctions. Cuba is, Chair, under unilateral sanctions. So I think that is the first point that we want to make. It's not sanctions that has been underpinned by the United Nations. In fact, Slalo, if you can recall, in June 2021, UNGA overwhelmingly voted that this unilateral blockade against Cuba must be lifted. Particularly, Jay, 184 countries supported South Africa, including South Africa, that have unanimously voted against that type of imposition. And you only had the U.S., you had Israel, Colombia, Ukraine, and Brazil, amongst others, have either voted against, and the last three have actually abstained as it relates to this matter is concerned. The matter of food security, Chairperson, as it relates to Cuba, if Honorable Chair, you will recall, we have made with the ARF interventions as it relates to food security in Zimbabwe. We have made interventions as it relates to food security matters in, I think it was South Sudan. So the fact that we are doing an intervention as it relates to food security in Cuba, it's concomitant, Chair, with, and you know, it's very systematic with what we have been doing as DERCO throughout the time. However, Chair, in the portfolio committee meeting that under your leadership, I have unequivocally, Chair, have never indicated that this is a no. So I want to put this on record. I've never indicated what I have said. It's a 50 million rand contribution. I want to qualify it here, Chair. And I want to restate the fact that it is not a loan. So that there should not be any ambiguity around the matter. This is a 50 million rand committed contribution, Chair, to intervene as it relates to the, you know, the massive food security challenges that we are faced with in Cuba. So that is the first issue that I thought I must just clarify. The second issue, Chair, I think it's Honorable Bergman have raised the issues about Russia and Ukraine. Our formal position, Chair, is to support the implementation of the Minsk 1 and Minsk 2 agreement and to call
as South Africa on the full working methodology of the Nomadi format that will be able to bring about cessation of hostilities between Russia and Ukraine. So I thought we must probably raise that specific matter. And then the last issue, Chair, I think the PC is correct. ECOWAS is indeed a growing region. For example, if you look at three of the countries is in the top 10 performing economies as envisaged for 2022. And this is really trying to be able to advance our national interests using, of course, the pillar of economic diplomacy. Chairperson, through the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, which I think the PC is well seized with. So, Kyoto Metsira, thank you very much, Chair.
You can marshal your forces now through the acting.
Yes, yes, Ambassador Gossi, over to you. Ambassador Lossi? Maybe I'm then back to you, Chair, then you marshal them.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. Mrs. Lobe, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will deal with the question on youth.
No, Chair, it's Member Nkosi. I'm interjecting. Where is the acting DG?
Let me ask you here.
No, but it's unacceptable. She's supposed to be driving this process and answering questions herself. I mean, we can't just proceed as if she's not here. There must be an explanation why she's not leading the team.
Okay, thanks for that vigilance. Honorable Okoisi.
Yes, Carlo Mayan was up for the same thing. Thank you.
Ambassador Lossi. Acting DG, I see your hand is up, Honorable Chetty.
Yes, Carlo, just with the very same comment as my previous colleague.
Deputy Minister, I think it's your responsibility to try and find out what happened to Acting DG.
While we're waiting, can I have an indulgence?
Honorable Deputy Minister? Indulgence, Honorable Chetty.
Siyabonga, Slalo. You see, Slalo, this is the problem we've been having. And I was waiting for us to have a discussion amongst the PC members. But while we're waiting, I thought we got rid of the two bulls in the crowd. But it seems that we've created a monster in the interim. And I think, Stalo, you're now witnessing it as well. And I think when we go to our trip to the offices, you're going to have to set time aside for us to deal with this. Because this is unacceptable. This is directly an insult and undermining of you as the chair and us as the committee. And this is what we've been bringing to your attention in previous meetings. And I hope today you realize the seriousness of the disrespect by the acting DG to the committee. Thank you, Stalo.
Okay, Honorable Chetty. Of course, if she just disappeared from the platform without an explanation, it is a problem. So if the minister can find out whether the acting DG has fainted or something terrible has happened to her or whatever, I don't know what has happened. I don't want to make conclusions. without getting the fare. Deputy Minister, are you succeeding? Yes, I can see you. Yeah. I was there.
Shia.
No, I'm sorry. I'm in the car now, Chair. I'm going to the airport. But Chair, I just want to raise that. I wonder if this is happening, how much of our questions and comments and inputs the acting GG has actually heard, because as the accounting officer, she's supposed to respond to most of what we have been saying here. And I think don't give them ideas, Chair, on fainting and what, because they're going to lie to us. We've been very sad. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Davis, okay. Then you suspect that they might say the acting DG said that. Yes. Okay. I get your point. Honorable Minister, I'm giving the power to you to say under the circumstances what course of action do we take. We must get responses from the department. We seem not to be having the action. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Yes, my apologies, Chair. I got hold of Ambassador Lossi on a cellular. She's trying to reconnect. Because she just lost connectivity, but she will join us once she has just established her connectivity. And what I will recommend, Chief, she will come in, but we had a discussion that may lobby and the chief financial officer can, in the interim, lead the responses, and then I think she will just indicate when she comes in then to strengthen the response chair. Thank you very much.
Allocate Charles then to your horses, sir.
May lobby, Charlotte, over to you.
Thank you very much, DM. I know that for the purpose of the responses to the question, I have been requested to respond on the youth agreement between South Africa and Nigeria, and I know my other colleagues will come on the other questions that relate to after as has been raised on the issues that relate to the finances, as well as on the issues that relate to the asset. If you allow me, Chairperson, let me start with the responses on the issues of the youth. May I just state that, Chairperson, the agreement between South Africa and Nigeria on youth development and empowerment is aimed at strengthening people-to-people mechanisms as instruments of diplomacy, and it acknowledges that the youth in both Nigeria and South Africa are the most resourceful part of the population, and over the years have been a great asset in nation building, in sustainable development, as well as in peace building. The agreement goes further to focus on investing on youth through skills development, creating access to credit and finances. And this particular point, Chairperson, is about the economic and financial inclusion of young people as an important element of youth development. And it is viewed that both countries will utilize a program of investing in young people by ensuring that we open a possibility of their participation in markets, not only in South Africa and in Nigeria, but also their participation in markets through the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. In the realization of the potential that our young people have as both countries, the agreement was that there is a need for us to use young people as assets
for sustainable economic growth and development. And in this regard, the agreement goes further to identify the need for us to continuously use the agency of young people in ensuring that we deal with the nexus between security on one hand and development on the other. Both President Ramaphosa and President Buhari, they have agreed that through the efforts of their respective governments, they will focus on how best we can have a strategy on youth development that will not only focus on the two countries, but will form the basis for a strategy that will assist young people. Now, in this context, Chairperson, the meeting of the two administrations noted that currently the average age the average population age in the continent is 24 years, while the average leadership age in the continent is 64. This meant that as we proceed on the processes of affirming the role of young people in sustainable development, we also look at how we can close this generation gap that I have spoken about as means of also trying to mainstream youth development and empowerment on our youth in the continent. Chairperson, this agreement also raises an important issue where the two presidents are in agreement on the need for us to have an annual Nelson Mandela Youth Dialogue, which was launched in Nigeria with the participation of young people from Nigeria and from South Africa. But moving forward, this youth dialogue is going to be extended to the other countries in the continent so that we also bring the youth in the continent on board with respect to the issues that relate to youth development. Chairperson, currently we are working with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities in looking at modalities of hosting a youth dialogue for 2022. And as matter stands, this Nelson Mandela Youth Dialogue will take place during South Africa's Youth Month with a view of not only focusing on the issues that I have alluded to, but also understanding that the 16th June is not only the South African Youth Day, but has been elevated to be the Pan-African Youth Day. Let me end the chairperson and hand over to my colleagues. I know that they are ready. No, the DG is here. Thank you very much, Chair.
Mrs. Lobe.
Chairperson.
There was a subsequent related question by Honorable Stefani that how are those young people going to be identified in terms of criteria?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Because there is a department that is responsible for youth development and empowerment, in the first preparatory committee meeting of the Nelson Mandela Youth Dialogue, we've agreed that the Department of Women, particularly the National Youth Development Agency, will be the one that coordinates participation in the dialogue. But in the same breath, we agree that as a result of our footprint in the continent, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation will liaise with the different resident embassies in terms of ensuring that they assist in youth organizations delegating young people to participate in the dialogue. Once the nitty-gritties around this are finalized, we'll be able to come back to the committee and report specifically on what Honorable Msani has raised. In our discussions, we have already taken into account the reality that not all young people have access
to the internet and access to this virtual means or platform that we use. According to the agreement, Chairperson, the Youth Dialogue for 2022 will be hosted in South Africa, and it appears it will be a hybrid session with some young people participating physically here in South Africa, whilst others will be joining on virtual platforms. In as far as that is concerned, Chairperson, you will note that part of what we want to use, or part of what we want to achieve out of this kind of a dialogue, is also to focus on the South African way of doing things. In other words, selling the work that we do around youth development, the kind of institutions that we have, the framework that informs our youth development policies, as well as focusing on how youth development and empowerment is mainstreamed in government work. Thank you very much.
Okay, FDDG, Ambassador, go see.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm very sorry I got cut off as the DM was concluding. I'm very sorry for that. I've been struggling to reconnect. On the same breath, Honorable Chair, the Honorable Mfana has asked the question on the ACTA, and Mr. Koso will respond on that.
Yeah, the committee was wondering whether you've got the guts to undermine the committee to the extent that you can just disappear. So we were not sure whether you have fainted or you had an emergency. But now we understand that you had a connectivity problem. What you need to do in future, Acting DG, when you've got connectivity problems, just send a message to one of your fellow your co-workers there, and say, or the deputy minister, so that we don't get to be surprised, where have you disappeared to? And so on. Anyway, I think it's understandable. Connectivity problems are all over.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I did send the message to everybody, but I still apologize, Chair. I would never run away from the commit. Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair, may I kindly call on Mr. Koso?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Ambassador Lucy, and thank you, Chair. I'm sorry about that. The trade fairs, or intra-Africa trade fairs, have started. Last November, we facilitated, as it was reported, the intra-Africa trade that took place in Durban. And I think that that will be the approach going forward to work with the like-minded organizations that will organize some of these, including working with us. There are some that have been suggested already, which I think the department will have to pursue and support the organizations that are initiating these efforts. And it is true that through these, then many countries or within the continent and business people, including entrepreneurs, will be able to trade more between themselves and between the countries if they know about the products through these platforms. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, who's next?
Thank you very much, Chair. Still from Honorable Mfana, there was a question, a detailed question, which also cut across. It was asked, I think, by Honorable Swartz and other honorable members, and the question was on the BT communication, how much are we paying, and how much have we paid so far, and do we have any intention to appoint. The acting CFO will respond on that, Honorable Chair.
And who is the owner?
Yes, sir.
That was the question.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. I will respond on that DT matter. Firstly, how much is paid on monthly basis? We pay about 8.4 million per month, which is 8.4 million rands per month for the network, for the bandwidth. And then the other question was that how much have we paid to date on that contract that has expired? The contract expired in December 2020, and we have since paid 105 million from December 2020 upon expiry of that contract up to today. And then the next question was that is that the department has intention to move out of this contract. Yes, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, the department has intention to move out of this contract. As we are in this meeting today, as I said earlier on, the process is already has been concluded by the bid committees of the department. They only concluded this matter now in February, and now the matter is being recommended to the acting DG, which we have recommended for the appointment of a new company to take over from BT Communications. And that is where we are, to show the interest or to show the intentions of moving out of this contract as a department. The profile of BT Communication, Honorable Chairperson, if you allow me, or if you allow the acting DG, if we can then conclude that one with a written communication that will be sent to the committee, acting DG. Thank you.
Well, the other question was, why did we allow a process where the contract lasts? Why didn't we prepare? I mean, contracts are quite predictable. We know when is which contract going to end, where it's part of the SLA. So the question was, because you know that this contract is going to expire in the next 6 months or so, why didn't we start the processes internally to make sure that there is an immediate replacement?
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may, the department...
Sorry. In addition, they may indicate that after the expiry of the contract, did they approach Treasury, one, to sanction continuing paying 8 million on a contract that has expired, and was the permission granted? And does this fall within the threshold of allowable requirements? Permitted requirements.
Okay.
Thank you,
Honorable.
Yes. The contract, when it expired on the 10th of December, the contract was then extended on a month-to-month basis until 10th of March 2021. This extension was requested from National Treasury in terms of the PSMA. However, National Treasury did not grant the department the extension simply because the initial contract from where it is, it was regarded as irregular. So Treasury said they cannot extend a contract that has already been regarded as irregular. However, the department, since it wanted the services to be continued for us to be able to finalize the bid, we then advertised the bid immediately, which was then which we then had to re-advertise it again, because we advertised it in July 2021. And then what happened, we had to cancel it because there were issues around the terms of reference that were concluded by the department. We were then asked again it was July 2020. We then had to re-advertise again in February 2021, where we then finalized the process up to a stage of evaluation. Now, after we have done the evaluation in that regard, there were 6 bids that were disqualified from the total that we have received. And the bid committee therefore recommended that the tender be cancelled due to non-responsive of the proposals that were received. Because after the 6 bids that were disqualified, none of the service providers then met the stipulated requirements that were set by the department. That was done between the period January 22 to 26 January 2021. Then we had to cancel the bid again and re-advertise because the bidders were not responsive as per the terms of reference of the department that were sent out. We re-advertised it again, Chairperson, the bid committee, and then that was the decision that was taken by the bid committee around the 15th of February 2021. And that was recommended to the accounting officer, who then approved that. It was cancelled, and then we re-advertised the bid around the 12th of April 2021, and then on the 4th of May and the 17th of May 2021, the bid committees sat again to look at that. We had a legal opinion taking place on the 21st of June 2021. And then the risk committee set as well on the 21st of June. So I'm indicating this, Honorable Chair, just to indicate that there were processes taking place, not that the department was not moving. However, there were glitches in between as and when we tried to move forward with the bid. So I will not go through all the processes, but this is where the whole processes were going back and forth as a department. But as I said again, the department has full intentions to replace the BT communication as we are having them now. As I said, the process is on its final stage. We have finalized the bid adjudication committee, and recommendation were made for the committee for the DG to then appoint to appoint a new service provider on this one. Chairperson, if you allow me, I got a message from the acting DG that I must deal with the issue of the 19 properties that were raised by honorable member. If I may, on the 19 projects that we presented here to the committee, 9 of those maintenance projects have been finalized, and 10 are still in progress, are the ones that we are trying to finalize right now. Chairperson, for an example, if I look at Namibia alone had about 6 projects on the initial list that we had. Of the 6 projects, 5 of them have been completed. Only 1 is still outstanding, which is the replacement of the list. And that is beyond the mission or the department's control, because we are waiting for the company to then deliver the list that needs to be replaced at the mission. But since then, the mission has also added from November. They have already added about 4 maintenance projects that they wanted us to do, and all 4 have been approved. And of the 4 projects, 2 projects have already been in a completion stage, and 2 are still being worked on. So that is where we are with the project, and we can also avail the report in terms of these 19 projects that we have presented to the committee. The report is available and we can make it available through the office of the acting DG. Now, the other project that I will also look at is the issue on the property management unit. Honorable Chair, it is a fact that the department, at the stage when we came here, we did not have relevant skilled officials in this unit. However, since then, the unit has then been re-looked at. A chief director is coming in on the 1st of March, who is qualified to do the work. The director is being interviewed in this month of February, who is also, we are looking for a qualified person to do the work. So we have done all of that. And yes, the immovable asset register, the updated one, it is available and it will be made available as per the request of the honorable member, which is done. And also, honorable chair, in this portfolio, a strategy has been approved in December. We do now have an immovable property strategy that has been approved by the department, which also looks at the milestone in terms of the work that needs to be done. Over and above that, this is one of the units where, in terms of the Foreign Service Act, we have already dealt with the regulations that relate to immovable property as this unit. We have completed all of those regulations. We have also looked at the Foreign Service Code that regulates the operations of the missions abroad. Those chapters relating to our units, which is the immovable property, have been updated in terms of in line with the Foreign Service Act that we have. So the only problem, as I indicated last time, Honorable Chair, is that we have these evaluation committee members who doesn't honor the invitation for the meeting. And that has been escalated up to the level of the acting DG. And based on that, as I indicated earlier on, the DG has dealt with that and we have now a solution which we will start now moving those evaluation that have been in that committee, which is implemented now in February. Thank you very much, Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Madam Pengu. Maybe whilst on the floor, you may want to respond to Honorable Swart's questions on finance.
Thank you, Acting DG. The question that I will cover, which I haven't covered earlier on, is the issue of the synergy on the operations and the spending of the department, specifically looking at quarter three. Honorable Chairperson, in this regard, I just want to indicate that the spending of the department is, or specifically on goods and services, is 70% administration. The budget that relates to the core business of the department is mostly on compensation of employees, because we employ diplomats who then attend meetings, who then do the seminars and all of that. But the spending when it comes to the core business of the department for the third quarter was only relating to the state visits that took place in Africa, which was the West Africa that Ms. Lobe spoke about, the spending relating to the visit that took place in Finland as well. But mostly the work that has been done in quarter three did not require the department to spend. However, it's either the missions have done the work virtually or the work doesn't need the budget. But as I said earlier, on goods and services budget of the department, 70% of it is administration. If I say administration, what do I mean, Chairperson? I mean it's mostly our leases for the offices, for accommodation for our heads of mission and accommodation for our staff. It's mostly on foreign municipalities. It's mostly on what do you call this thing? It's mostly on medical services. It's mostly on educational services. So it's all the things that talks to the administration rather than the core business. But the core business spending, you will see, is under compensation of employees. That is why, Chairperson, we always come here and say our compensation of employees budget is not enough. As a result, we have more, the officials that we have, we don't have enough budget to do that. Chairperson, if I link what I'm saying right now to the question that was asked to say, is the department planning its spending effectively and economically? Yes, Chairperson. We will not be, we are planning our spending effectively and economically. Right now, the spending that we are expecting, which is a big one in March, is only on your ICT and laptops, which we've been indicating in this committee that there have been delays with the delivery of those, which were subsequently delivered in January, and the payment will only flow out now in February or beginning March. The second thing that we also indicated in this committee, which you will also see in the fourth quarter as a spike, is the issue of the mission expenditure that has not been interfacing into the basic accounting system of the department. It is now starting to interface, so it will increase the expenditure of the department. The second last thing, Chairperson, is the repatriation expenditure of about 40 million. This expenditure is only coming now in February and March, because during the third quarter, the department has been working with SAA to reconcile the books and agree on exactly how much is owed by the department for the repatriation of South Africans during the time of COVID abroad. The last thing that you will see as a spike in March, it will be on the Pan-African Parliament payment for the closeout report of the work that was done by DPWI in the 2016-2017-2018 work, which we have discussed with National Treasury, and the agreement between DECO and Treasury is that the department must reprioritize its budget to pay for that closeout report or pay for that expenditure that was incurred by DPWI on behalf of the department when they were busy with the work of the Pan-African Parliament. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like now to request Advocate Divert. There was a question on accruments and how these accruments are serviced. Advocate Divert.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Losi. Good afternoon, honourable members. The situation is that for all the agreements that are signed on a particular aspect, say for instance it's on agriculture, or it's on water, or it's on development, there are specific line functions that are responsible for the implementation of those agreements. And our role in DIRCO, and we report on this to Cabinet twice a year, is to report on those agreements that they are still in existence or not. Now, we have said in the past, it appears that not all line functions are equally engaged in the implementation of those agreements. And there is currently work that's being done. I'm not sure that it's led by the presidency, but for sure there is work that's been done to really look at these agreements and to make sure that these agreements are indeed serviced by the relevant line function department and that we give effect thereto, not only for the benefit of ourselves, but also for the benefit of countries, especially on the African continent, who can benefit from these agreements. That process is ongoing. There are a number of agreements that have recently been signed, it is clear that the line function departments are actioning those agreements. But as far as DIRCO is concerned, the political desk would monitor the agreement, but it very, very much depends on for implementation by the line function department. And we have been on record also in cabinet indicating that the department should be careful to pursue agreements where they have no capacity to implement those agreements, because it does not show well on South Africa, and we should rather be focused our attention to the existing agreement. Thank you, Ambassador.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Following that question from Honorable Nkosi was the request for the audit action plan to be shared with the portfolio committee, and this we will provide. And then Honorable Bachmann noted the input on West Africa. I think our DM responded to that, and we've noted opening up trade fairs to stimulate the tourism. Honorable Bachmann has also requested that we provide the portfolio committee with the latest appointments of the ambassadors in the past 6 months. We will take this request to the ministry. And then Honorable Mfana has requested that we provide a report on the 19 properties. We've noted that we will also provide this report, and she's also requested that we provide an email verbal assets register. We will provide all these reports that were requested. Lastly, Honorable Bachmann has brought to our attention the dispute with the city of Tshwane. Yes, we've noted the media articles, Honorable Member, and we engaged the city of Tshwane, and it emerged that, and it's in writing, we have an email from the city of Tshwane after so much back and forth discussion with the city of Tshwane. We have received an email from their debt collectors that DICO, which pays for rates and taxes, doesn't owe any amount to the city of Tshwane. However, they have said, we are not in arrears, though in the newspapers they said we are. We have since requested them to retract that statement, but we also have developed working relationships with them, and they have said on the part of the amount that is to be paid by embassies, they will continue to engage DICO so that we intervene timely, that there are no they don't cut water and electricity, because we do not pay for water and electricity for embassies. We only pay for rates and taxes. But thank you very much for that. We have interacted with the city of Tshwane, and we have requested that at least we meet the officials there at least once a month. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Okay, Honorable Sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Deputy Minister Alban Waters, I don't know, Chairperson, through you, if really this department is ever going to take us serious. We have made a lot of appeals that this department must please start thinking deeply and seriously about hiring a chartered accountant to be the CFO of this department. You see, I have a problem always when our official in the form of Miss Bengu responds to us. I think she thinks she's doing us some favor. You can't sit here and tell us you spend 70% of the budget on administration, and you boldly say to us it is salaries.
Which means you are saying to us, this department has not delivered anything. You are saying to us, you have not done any work. You are saying to us that on quarter three, you are just talking about this and that. And then you come with these long presentations you make here in the interest of what? What are you presenting here? And when we look at the alignment of the budget and what you are saying you have underspent on, and then you boldly say to us, because of COVID, because of this, the 70% you are talking about is on administration, then it means that half of DERCO must go home and go sit at home and be unemployed. So that we are not spending 70% on administration. And why are you, Ms. Bengu, still reporting on property? Why? When we said that legally, property and finance cannot be under one section. And you are keep on repeating that the acting DG, yourself, you are busy singing a song saying which you have separated the two. And me, I'm praying to God that the list you are going to give us and the strategy report you are going to give us, I wonder who has done it. Because you don't have the skill in the department. And because I made a comment about the 10 African parliaments which you could not respond previously, how much you are paying on rental, how much you are paying on maintenance, instead, you are telling us about reports and DPWI and what you had to pay. Guys, please stop playing mind games with us here. I wonder who has prepared that property report. The asset register, who did it? Who has done the asset register? Because we did oversight of all the missions, which showed us buildings that are collapsing, buildings that are not being maintained, where you could not, as a department, on your own, have gone and seen what we went and seen during our oversight that we did virtually to the missions that we went to, on oversight. Now, if today you are saying you are bringing us a strategy report, which Honorable Chairperson, I am saying that I swear to God, I wonder who has prepared this strategy on the property, what, whom, where, and how. And the 19 properties you are talking about, you presented them to us. And the Honorable Mutane had questions, and you were supposed to submit a written report on those 19 properties because we had questions as this committee. And we're asking you, how are you disposing of, based on what? Who was the evaluating those properties? Who was the valuer? We're asking you questions. You couldn't answer them then. Now today you are telling us the report is ready. All you need to do is to press go, and it comes to our email, to the staff at Parliament. So it means that the previous month when we requested that report, you just defied us by not giving it to us. Then today you are telling us that report is as ready as right now you can send it. It's because you do not follow time frames. Even when you say you want to do some things, you don't do them. Honorable Chairperson, the acting CFO is driving with us on a bus deep in KZN on the mountain. And there is little space to drive. We are really going into the club bush with us with our eyes open. She's taking us there, and we are just riding on the bus there in KZN on a mountain there. And we can see both sides. Which is the driver and the driver decides, yeah, by this side. But on this one, yeah, the head of the bus is already like this on the trip, and we are going together with this bus. Parati. You will let continue your kushu. Not with us, please. Can this oversight of ours not be taken in the manner which, and you see, if this department learns to accept advice and learns to accept that we are not the enemy, but we are doing oversight to assist them to achieve what they are supposed to achieve. But when they answer, they answer with this English as if they are writing something. who are not marking books, who are doing oversight, Honorable Chairperson. So with us, there's no smart students. There must be what we expect from them in relation on what we can go back to recording. But if they want to dance on broomsticks at our expense, I am going to be busy. But we're not going to go down with this path with open eyes. Because, I mean, if you are saying, Josh, you have spent 70% on administration, it means that you are not doing any work. Because you can't only talk about quarter three. You must talk about everything. When COVID started, we asked you. We can go back to recording. You had very brilliant answers on how you are going to mitigate COVID. And today you are sitting here and telling us on how you've adjudicated and not adjudicated on the ICT. The bottom line is that you have been paying an irregular tenant. That is what you've been doing. You've been paying money to a service provider on an irregular green tender, which you are not responding on. And when I'm saying, we've told you before on our first oversight, it does not help to raise your voice with us. But it does fit when you try us to make us understand using financial facts on what your finance department is doing. But this English, that is not aligned to what you are doing, which is what I said even last week, that is the problem with your reporting. It is not aligned to anything in relation to what you are, is your input and output. And you guys, it's like you are WhatsApping each other. I'm praying that I'm alive when the oversight happens physically, Honorable Chairperson. I must be there in person at Durko so that we look at these people in the face. So that when they talk, body language is very important. Because even here on Zoom, we don't see the legs and the hands properly. We just see the face. But yes, can these officials stop doing what they are doing? This English and what? And these long presentations, which mean nothing to us. Thank you, Honorable Chair, as I take my flight and pray I land safely.
Yeah, you will land safely, don't worry. Thanks, Honorable Swart. Honorable Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Swart. Chair, the Deputy Minister has been very clear that the 50 million was a donation for food security. Yet many Africans on the African continent are starving, but be that as it may. Chair, in today's presentation, we have loan amount to be granted to Cuba, 53,369,000. And on a previous presentation received from the department on the 14th of October 2020, loan amount to be granted to Cuba was 140 million. My question then, Chair, to the department is, what is the total amount that South Africa has awarded to Cuba? And if any, what payment has been received from Cuba for the loans received? Simple, short, sweet, just a precise answer. No stories. Thank you, Slalom.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chetty. Honorable Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, I think as a chairperson that caught the boat moving in the Indian Ocean, now you will see our frustration now. Because I'm sure you got a briefing with Sababantu Bayahlupha in that committee, like.
No, I didn't catch
anything.
Yeah.
We would say in Tupong and say in Tupu, but you know, when we became part of this committee in 2019, we were very fortunate because we had a member of who was part of the previous term. And we also went, when I told you that we went down memory lane ourselves and we did our own research to actually find out
what were the resolutions and what did other previous terms since the formation of this department actually achieve during oversight? And we took it upon ourselves to say, you know what, yes, we represent different political parties with different visions and missions. However, we agree on certain points, which is to say, we always lament on that the money of our taxpayers must be used to benefit the country and our taxpayers. That is a common vision. And Chairperson, if I have to take you into confidence, we did not attack this department from start, but we said, okay, tell us what are the challenges. We'll hear it from you. We'll do our research. We'll find out where is wrong or right. But it seems like this committee is becoming an enemy to the department, which it shouldn't be. Because at the end of the day, it's nothing personal. This is a department, and it's beyond any of the officials being for them to, if there are challenges, there are challenges, and we should all deal with the challenges. But for them to put us as being the guards or being the armed police officers, no. You know, the challenge of this department is for all of us. Unless they have ulterior motives apart from servicing the country and representing the country, which I think, Chairperson, it will lead us to a determination of saying that, yes, there are ulterior motives and there are beneficiaries, which I can guarantee you that some of them are not even beneficiaries, but they end up protecting a beneficiary. Honorable Nkosi asked a very valid question to say, Uwuthi, e-Treasury, did they actually agree to this thing, Yale, 8.4 million? It is noted that the Treasury distance itself, that's the answer we are getting. However, the department still went ahead outside the protection of the law, which governs all of us, and made monthly payments of 8.4. And let me tell you, Chairperson, one thing all of us might not have noted was Mamu Bengu, when she said the 8.4 million, she said bandwidth. And I understand where Honorable Swash is coming from, because when there is something attached to something, magazothi bandwidth. What is 8.4 bandwidth? You need bandwidth. Are we paying for ICT consultation, or are we paying for 8.4 million for bandwidth? What actually are we paying for? And Chairperson, I also think we need to look at our committee, because we are failing ourselves also, because we were supposed to have a list of all these things that this department keeps promising, meeting in and meeting out. I mean, when you are coming to make a presentation, you are supposed to come with a presentation that is full. Masela, Uwuthi, what are the 19 projects? How far? You can't say they are on a final stage. What is the final stage according to program management? The reason why we said property must be moved away from finance, because we didn't want to hear English. A project manager will tell you, when I ask Uwuthi, how Ngoba is a project. Uzokutshela ukuthi it's at this stage. Not which it's on a final stage. What is the final stage? To me, as a civil engineer, when you tell me which it's at a final stage, it means which we are at a handover stage, which is 100%. So what is the final stage? Hence the reason we said with this thing must be moved away from finance. If property management must be moved away from finance. However, yes, we've been currently meeting in and meeting out, which the department has been moved away from the finance. And unfortunately, Kusa reporter is finance. We need a timeline. When are we getting this report? Every meeting we are being promised, yeah, you'll get it. You will send it through the office of the DG. Yini final stage. Yini final stage. Because in property management, you don't have such a thing. Final stage means something else. In finance, final stage means something else. Like, yo, asset register, we've been requesting this thing for months, Chairperson. And I can guarantee you, if I have to open my book here, Samba Namafuk Skep, we walk around with 288 page books. So that each and every meeting we can record these things this department promises us, but we never get them. Why should we even wait for them to be sent? Why are they not flighted if they have it? Is it because they need to go and cook them? If it's data that they have offhand, why are they not flighting it? Chairperson, 8.4 million. Is a lot of money. A whole lot of money. A whole lot of money. And I need to find out, Chairperson, because there was a report that happened sometime last year where we owed the Department of Home Affairs 288 million. Has that money been settled? And where does it put the department? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Temi.
Yeah, no, two quick things. The first one is really on the subject of the contract in the 8 million. I suggest concretely that we flag this and request that the department in our next meeting report fully on the status of this contract and answer all the questions that have been asked and provide all information that needs to be provided on this, including but not limited to what has been said in the meeting. In specific terms, for me, in relation to this, I also want to know what disciplinary action has been taken against the bid adjudication committee members who absented themselves for over a year, thus constituting to the delays in the implementation of the contract and possible news and wasteful expenditure. So on that one, we don't need to hear that processes are in place to discipline people. By the time we report, we must say Bekking Nkosi, who was a member of the BAC, absented himself for two successive meetings without apology or without good reason, and this is the action taken against Bekking Nkosi. I just want to go back to the issue of the agreements. I can hear what legal says, that they go to cabinet and they raise issue about the capacity of all these departments that enter into these agreements without implementing them. If I remember well, or in terms of whatever the white paper, you have what is called the International Cooperation Trade and Security Cluster, which is chaired by DECO, which is supposed to coordinate the work of the interdepartmental work relating to trade and industry. Let's exclude security for now, because all these agreements about trade, industry, promotion of tourism, and economic diplomacy. Is DECO still convening this cluster, and how often, and
what are the inputs in these, in other words, a progress report on this, and if it is not happening, why is it not happening? Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Mbaza, thank you, that is good.
Chairperson.
Yebo.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, the opportunity is now yours. Kuba. Sikuzwa kahle, baba. Yes, Kuba. You can see.
Okay, my apologies. There's a challenge here. Chairperson, I'm very much. I didn't want to engage a lot. I was wanted to allow the members to input, but in all their inputs, you can hear it's frustration. And before we are accused of attacking the department and not actually assisting them. So I want to carry on with my proposal that let's have another session where we'll isolate issues and then deal with the issues. You have raised quite a number of issues yourself as the chair and honorable members, so that we'll then understand why we've been raising issues for almost 3 years and there's no progress, and it's like we're running in circles. So I don't want to talk much, Chair, but I want to make the proposal that let's have a session, and then maybe amongst ourselves will then itemize the issues that are bothering us. And then we have a very close session with the department, with the executive, also being part of that meeting, so that we'll then iron out issues and then find a way forward that is going to take us forward. Because I can tell you, I'm not a person who throws the towel, but what we are experiencing now is it's torture. To say the least, we are very traumatized as members because we have not exhausted. We have exhausted everything that we can exhaust in trying to impress upon the department that they must address the issues that we are raising, but we are not winning. So maybe between me and you, after this meeting, we'll have to have a serious engagement where we'll then decide how we take the matter forward. But Chairperson, is very, very much disappointing. I understand the frustration of the members. The department is not taking us serious. And please, Chair, arrange a session, even if it's a closed session, where we'll have an honest and frank engagement with the department. And I put three honorable Deputy Minister Bottas is trying. I know Honorable Bottas is a very progressive Deputy Minister, but I want to tell you, Honorable Bottas, the ship that you are captaining, if there's an English word like that, I is sinking, my brother. And we really want, have to do something to rescue the situation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, we are now coming towards the end of the meeting. Some of the issues that may constitute our way forward are as follows. One is that the department has committed to send us documents relating to the status of the BET. A contract and linked to that is that we will have a dedicated meeting to deal with the BET contract and ICT in the department in general. That's one. Two, that there will be a report on what action has been taken in as far as the perpetual absence of some members of the BAC Big Educating Committee are concerned. Three.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, I can see. Which hand is that one?
Kumsan. It's It's BT Communication. BT.
Oh, not BET. Okay. Thanks, Austemi. I'm thinking BET, Branch Election Teams. I'm sorry. That's just on a lighter note. BT Communications, and then we will get a profile in as far as BT Communications Company is concerned. In link to that will be the financial implications on arising from how the contract has been managed. So that will include the extension, the fact that it was set in a regular contract, and whatever Treasury may have said to the department and so on. So that is three. Four is a monthly update on the appointment of ambassadors. So this is a simple one. You simply on a 6 month basis circulate a list on who is new, who is still there, and so on, in as far as these deployments are concerned. Five, there will be a further update report on immovables and a historical resolution taken in as far as the location of those immovables for effective management purposes is concerned. Six is all the details surrounding the financial implications around the institutionalization of Pan-Africanist Parliament. It will include many other things. That's why I'm saying institutionalization, because to institutionalize it, you need many other things, which I think the department understands better than us. Seven, this one I thought we must start it in the new financial year. Honorable Musan, you are right. What we should do is to have a framework which is called the Resolutions Tracking and Implementation Framework, so that there are no questions on or differences on which resolutions did we take, when, what was the content of the resolution, and so on. So we will do tracking of the resolution. And I think to manage it better, we will then have to make this item a standing item in all our meetings on the tracking of the implementation of the resolutions that are taken by the committee. And I think it will help manage some of the things, because I can see members of the committee, as the Honorable Mpanza was saying, to an extent frustrated by the fact that they have taken decisions in the past, and it doesn't look like we are making progress. So because now I'm new, I may not be at the same level of frustration as other members are, because I have not yet interacted with most of the issues that are raised here. But as the chair, as a member of parliament, I understand where you are coming from as members of the committee. You are not being unfair to the department, you are simply being critical on historical matters that we have been dealing with, and there seems not to be a progress on some of the issues that you are raising. So resolution tracking and implementation will help us a lot. In addition to this, Honorable Mbatha, remember that there is still an outstanding meeting with the minister where we are going to discuss other outstanding matters. So that meeting is in the program. It is going to be taking place, I think, when we do an oversight to the department in Pretoria. So that's the way forward coming out of the meeting. If I've missed other things, I'll be now. I'm sure you have been taking copious notes. You will then, at an administration level, share them with those who are from the department, and then we can synchronize the two and see how we move forward. I will suggest that on the matters that the department has committed itself to deliver to us, like these documents, profiling of BT, Warawara, and so on, a period of 10 days should be enough for us to get that information so that we can dispose of some of these issues that have been on the table for some time. So I understand. So I think we had a very fruitful, active, robust engagement today, as usual. And I'm sure we are learning from one another in the process. There will be sometimes some degree of turbulence in the meeting. Our responsibility is to make sure that that turbulence contributes towards qualitative oversight by ourselves as a committee. So we shouldn't be overly worried when sometimes the temperature seems to be a bit high as far as engagements are concerned. I will ask the department, as soon as we have agreed on this framework of resolution tracking, please make sure that you follow up on those particular issues. Make it your business to always revise them, go back at them, deliver the report in writing to the portfolio committee so that we can make progress. The matters I was raising earlier on, I know they are not the standard way of the department reporting, like this concrete reporting that shows impact, like on investments, growth, and so on. I will wish that, I'm sure you will work on how you will report on those issues. Others belong to the department or the cluster that deals with the economy. You will interact with your colleagues and see how you come back to us on some of those issues. Matters that relate to visas here, you will talk to the relevant Department of Home Affairs. Other matters relate to state security agencies that deal with intelligence. You will see how you interact. We don't want an intelligence report. We just want the department to indicate to us how that information at its disposal assists it to deal with matters of predictability and certainty going
forward, because intelligence is an embedded responsibility within international relations. Yeah, so I wish you all the luck for tomorrow to listen attentively to what the president will be saying in the context of COVID that is continuing to ravage the country, in the context of some countries' attitudes towards South Africa fluctuating, in the context of coups taking place and dynamics within the AU, in the context of the difficulties of poverty that is increasing, unemployment is increasing, the state fiscus is dwindling, is getting constrained all the time. And then you have a private sector that is unevenly patriotic from an investment point of view. We also have conditions which other investors say they're inhibiting investment and growth in the country. On the other side, it is your trade union movement which is putting demand on the state for it to respond accordingly. Crime is a bit on the rise in the country. People who are in the periphery of the country, in the villages, the townships, are not enjoying as much benefits as those in the cities. So I hope tomorrow you will listen attentively on the plans that will be there to grow the economy going forward and put South Africa on a better footing, in as far as all these other variables are concerned. And then those of you who are like you will be part of the debates next week of the State of the Nation address. Otherwise, thank you very much, honorable members, for the constructive engagement. Deputy Minister, I don't know if you are still there, my brother, the acting DG Ambassador Losi, and everybody else who was part of your black team. We want to thank you. I don't know, Deputy Minister, if you want to say something or your earlier comments were succinctly enough for us to then close the meeting.
Sorry, Chair.
Hi.
Mfane.
Yes, Austin.
I just wanted to add to what you were saying that...
The way forward.
No, it's not a way forward. It's to say, also yourself as a chair, can you please refrain from saying I'm new? There's no in the committee. We all need to find a ground and run. There is no one new in the committee, so...
Supported.
Go through your research.
Agreed.
Okay, you've done that, but this is I need one full financial year so that the new party me can go away. Hey, you killed me. Okay, you've done that. Okay, okay, honorable side. Deputy Minister, you covered.
We got you, Chair.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't do that. Who says you am la? Okay, the Deputy Minister doesn't seem to be on the platform now. Honourable members, thank you very much for everything. This is how we come to the end of the meeting today. So when I go on to get those who are going to be physically in the city hall.